Ashley Manikaros is the Chief Executive of the NT Cattlemen's Association. Ashley, what do you hope the Territory will get from this future drought fund?
Well, the first thing we'd hope to get is some sort of seat at the table in regards to being part of this expert panel that Minister Littleproud was talking about. We think it's important that they identify someone from the Northern Territory that is able to actually contribute into the decision-making process, because we have some unique landscapes here. We have both levels of Australia. Central Australia, you've got yourself that desert environment that operates off minimal rain, and they work in that exceptional circumstance area, which is not quite drought all the time. And then you go further north into that Barkly region, which we know has suffered below average rainfall. So we would want to see, first of all, someone on that expert panel that can feed directly into what it is that we need here in the Northern Territory. Now,
and what do you want?
Well, we'd have to have a look at how, I've looked at some of the documents that have been produced so far. It's fairly broad range, but they're going to link, or you would think they're going to be linked primarily to infrastructure and what we need and some of the water storage components that need to be put in, to be honest with you, Matt. There isn't a lot of water storage in the north, not necessarily talking about dams. We're talking about water storage that can go from recharging aquifers technology that actually captures to some of the broader stuff. Now, at the moment, there is a federal government program which is $25,000 made available to individual leaseholders to put down bores. So we're going to see that sort of infrastructure go in as well, but what we want to see is some future proofing, which might be around the water storage, water catchment. How do we do that? And so we'd like to see some of that infrastructure come in.
I think of a region like the Barkly, thousands of hectares of just open plains. What can be done to future drought-proof a region like that one?
Well, the thing is that I think one of the great problems with that area is that there are regions that have exceptional amounts of scientific data that we actually know how much subsurface water there is. And there are other areas where we don't. It's very patchy. So maybe part of the fund can be used in identifying studies that are geoscience-based in terms of being able to identify where the water sources are and what they are. We just don't know enough. I mean, your program last week was having a giant discussion about water allocation, and one of the problems with water allocation is no one, at the end of the day, is really sure how much water there is. So that's another area where the fund could step in and be very, very useful in helping identify that. There are gaps all over the place. But in terms of infrastructure, I've got to say to you that if you can tap into a water source, then you're going to need the infrastructure to be able to do it. The fund might well be the vehicle that is able to do that.
Is the drought in the Northern Territory on the federal government's radar, do you think?
Look, we've certainly been kept abreast and involved in all of the discussions in relation to the drought. However, what I will say is that when you look at the different let me start at this point. We've actually had no money come in here, apart from that $25,000 I was just talking about, that has been directly related to drought or exceptional circumstances. However, in other states, you know, recently New South Wales got several hundred million dollars. And Queensland, as we know, is getting billions of dollars to recover from what it's experienced. So we haven't really been in that ability. So our leaseholders and farmers have actually producers have actually been wearing this cost themselves. Now, I've got to say to you, when I go and speak to our members of the NTCA, I get a mixed reaction out of them, and it's not uncommon, which is that those say it's just a fact of doing business and that they are prepared for it and that you need to be resilient for this. And to be able to work through it, and that they don't really want any type of corporate welfare as such. But then there are others that have reached their end, because in some areas we are talking about several seasons now, not just one-off, where they've gone through several seasons of below average rainfall, and that has worn thin, and they have managed to they've had to destock down to breeder herds. So we heard a discussion not so long ago about transport subsidies. So there's an area that has been talked about.
And if you're in that situation, and in ways I would have thought, it must be frustrating to see across the border assistance being provided if you're missing out.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we also have to be very specific about what it is we want. And the thing is this, that because we operate in this environment over long periods of time, we're ahead of the curve, I like to say, because many of our landholders, land managers, had already started to identify that there was a problem coming and had taken action. There are still a lot of cattle on the Barkly, don't get me wrong, but having said that, we're in a better position to manage it because we're so proactive in the way we manage it.
$100 million is a lot of money, but once those big states put up their hands, do you think there'll be many dollars left for the territory?
Well, I guess it comes back to how hard we advocate as the peak industry group, but also how hard the Northern Territory government advocates, because that's where it's really going to be. You know, you've got to go into those meetings. We've got to have a representative around the table, and we've got to be banging on the table saying we need our share, because it is in Australia's interest for this part of the world to be maintaining its cattle production.
And just before I let you go, Ashley Menakaros, the Territory Government has flagged this idea of rent subsidies for those cattle producers doing it tough in dry conditions. Have you got any more clarification of what that will look like?
Yeah, so look, it's not a subsidy, so if I could just change the language there a little bit.
Yep.
Nor is it assistance. What it would be was, it would be some sort of discount or waiver on what the pastoral rent is. So it gets calculated based on estimated carrying capacity because of exceptional circumstances. Not everyone will apply for it, but we've just asked the government if they would consider that there would be applications if they could give them careful considerations based around the climatic conditions that exist in the Northern Territory at the moment. They've written back to us through Minister Eva Lawler, who's responsible for this area under the Pastoral Land Act, and she said that they would consider on an individual basis the a discount or waiver in regards to the pastoral rent, depending on the circumstances of the individual leaseholder. So that's incredibly positive from that, and we're very grateful for that.
And what could the size of the discount be? Like, for some stations, could we be talking tens of thousands of dollars?
Well, potentially, because what you've got to keep in mind is that these stations that have been affected by those climatic conditions have reduced down to a breeder herd, essentially. We've also moved, Matt, to an estimated carrying capacity. So you would have leaseholders paying rent based on their carrying capacity, which in the current climatic conditions won't be accurate anyway. So that's where the discount comes in. So normally they might be charged with based around what they can carry and their water points, but they're not carrying that because of the climatic conditions.
You've got to head into a meeting. Thanks for your time on the Country Hour.
Good on you, Matt. Thanks, mate.